We come on this sloop, John B. My grandfather and me. Around Nassau town we did roam.
Hello there. Welcome to the North South Action Podcast Network. I am JT with a special Podblast edition here focusing on the greatest WCW match ever project being held by Place to Be Nation. Joining me here tonight is my friend. He is the host, or I guess co-host, I don't know, your lead host of PTB NXT. You've heard him on the Place to Be podcast as well before. That is Jambalaya Jake Williams. Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing as well as I can, given the circumstances. I guess I'm playing the South role in the team tonight.
Yeah, that's the thing with this network. It has to be at least one North and one South representation on the shows. So that's you tonight. I had to get someone from the South. It's been a weird day, especially for me and you, which we can get into in a minute, because we're going to have some time to kill. Because what we're here to do tonight is really a first of what's going to be a pretty regular series on this feed. And that is either live watching or breaking down or talking about contenders on the GWCW Greatest Match Ever project list. So the one we're going to watch tonight, Jake, is on the WWE Network. It is Ricky Steamboat versus Rick Rude from Beach Blast 92. It's a 30-minute Iron Man match. So you and I are both queued up on WWE Network. We are at 107.28. Mm-hmm. And we're going to hit play in a moment. If you guys want to watch along with us, we're going to talk about the match. We'll talk about the project. We'll talk about a bunch of other stuff going on, too. That affects obviously the wrestling world and me and you, buddy.
For sure.
All right, so let's start this match in 3, 2, go.
Okay. All
right. Oh, and something went wrong with my network, so I gotta hit play again.
Oh,
we're off to a roaring start.
False start. I paused, so just let me know when you're
good. Okay, I'm at 107.33 now. Where did you pause?
Okay, I'm good. Same spot.
Okay. All right.
So we get a brief shot before Rick Rude come out of Schiavone and Bischoff in their beach attire.
That's Frank Costanza's cookbook. That shot of Rude standing with the silhouette behind him in the circle was pretty awesome.
I love this Rude. He's so awesome.
Yeah, you could see the... And you know, obviously, we're covering 1990 and Place to Be, and you could see the early like glimmers of what's in there with the look and the more refined and focused attitude, and some of the less of the goofiness. And here, he just puts it all together in the ring.
Yeah, this is kind of skipping a little bit. Like, so I've been doing like a chronological watch of 90s WCW for the project, just so I can kind of filter anything I think is worthwhile. Mm-hmm. And I just got to the like where he comes out as the Phantom. And
yes.
That's a pretty cool moment.
Yes. Yeah, the Halloween Phantom. And that was, you know, it's funny because in my mind, I always thought he debuted in WCW like right after he left. But he's gone for a bit because he leaves in like October of 90, and that's October 91. So he must have had a year left on his contract, right, that he walked out on. He must have had a long non-compete.
I think he just called everyone beach-loving bozos. Just...
I'm sure Herb will tell us when we get there, but
yeah.
God, he's in ridiculous shape here.
Yeah,
so, were you watching WCW at this point? Like, is this stuff you saw live, or have you just gone back to relive it?
Definitely not. I was way too young, and this is one reason I was watching is because this is a little bit of a blind spot for me. At least like watching it through chronologically. Like, I've obviously seen like the bigger matches, like just watching random stuff. But so that's kind of one of the things I'm enjoying about the project is that a lot of this WCW stuff is kind of a blind spot for me. So it kind of gives me a reason to go back and watch it because I always wanted to.
Yeah, I think it's seemed the same for me, really. Like, I want to say WCW came on my radar in 92 around then. Like, I remember this in real time, but I don't think I watched it in real time. But it's definitely stuff I went back to relive. And this is a show I had seen a few times. I believe I rented it probably as a kid. It was one of the few that was out there. And then when I started doing some tape trading in the mid-2000s, randomly, before I really knew who he was, Stephen Graham and I actually traded a bunch of stuff. And one of the things he had given me was the home video version of Beach Blast 92, which doesn't have every match. And neither did the rental version. The WCW home video tapes were all usually cut up.
Yeah,
especially the
Turner edits or whatever they're called. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in this time frame. Like, I remember renting Super Brawl 2 and I remember renting this. and they didn't have all the matches in there. But this is one that was on the tape. And it was one of those things, too. I used to get, like, irrationally angry because, like, it wasn't easy to, like, go rent tapes. Like, I didn't have my own disposable income. I was 11. So, you know, I had to convince my parents to spend the $3 or so, go to the store, pick one out. And then when you get home and it was, like, this two-hour hack job, like, it felt like a ripoff. And I remember I rented, like, one of the early Hulkamania tapes. It was, like, 45 minutes or something. And it had three matches. And I was, like, so angry. But it was just like, God, I just wanted to watch so much wrestling, and you wanted as much as possible. So, like, I always would gravitate toward the longer WWF pay-per-views to rent.
It's such a different world. Like, it's a complete opposite of now, where you have so much to watch.
I know.
And it's, like, endless.
Although you may have a lot of time soon, because...
Yeah.
You end up getting quarantined. I mean, even if you're not quarantined. So, obviously, you know, I don't know when this is going to drop at this point, but we're recording this on... It's Wednesday night. It's the night the NBA just canceled their season. We're on the eve of WrestleMania getting postponed, delayed, or canceled, for sure. And obviously, I think a lot of folks, even if they're not forced to self quarantine or home quarantine, are probably not going to be going out as much. Like, I just had that conversation with my wife. I'm like, you know, we'll go out here and there, but I'm not planning to attend any like big gatherings or anything like that anytime soon. At least for a couple weeks until we see where things go. So I think we're all going to have a lot of time probably to check out some of the stuff. Is there anything on your radar? Like, you do a lot of GWCW stuff. Do you have non-wrestling stuff? Like, what's on your quarantine list?
Definitely continuing with my WCW watch. So I feel like there's like two ways you could go if you're quarantined. You either would probably want to like watch something that would comfort you and like make you feel better about the what's going on around you, or I guess something new. I definitely want to watch WCW, like I've been watching. So I thought I would mention this to you because you probably think this is like sacrilege, but I've seen bits and pieces, but I've never watched Curb all the way through, like from the beginning. So I know you'd probably, so I should probably get on that.
Mm-hmm.
I figured you would agree.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, the good thing with Curb too, it's 10 episode seasons.
Yeah.
You can move through that pretty quick. I mean, that's 5 hours as a season right there. So that's, you can get through two seasons a day.
And it would probably soothe me with the events going on.
Yeah, and it'll make you feel more neurotic, honestly.
Yeah.
maybe it's not the best thing to watch.
Yeah, maybe that might be the next season.
Right? Oh, yeah, they'll probably do something along those lines. It's crazy. Did you ever watch that the show Last Man on Earth on Fox?
I never watched it, but I'm familiar.
Oh, it's freaky. It's like living it with the stuff going on right now. Because it basically a virus like killed off all of... the planet, other than like there's like, you know, it evolves, right? For a while he thinks he's the only man, and then more people show up, and by the end of whatever season was the last one, it left on a cliffhanger where like a whole like flood of people showed up, but basically certain people were immune, and they had to rebuild everything, and they were running off, you know, canned goods and everything else that were running out of resources. So by the last season, before it ended, they were starting to figure out, like, okay, how are we going to start making new stuff? We can't just keep relying on the shit that's expiring within the next year or whatever. It was really good. It was funny, but it was also poignant, and it just makes you think of stuff like this, like out of nowhere, how this illness can just completely unravel everything.
So Steamboat is working Rude over with a, I guess, like jamming his knee into his abdomen right now.
And it's what I like about this match too. We're seeing it here. We're just about 4 minutes in, and they're going like at a good pace. You know, we're not getting like 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes of feeling out or head. Like they wrestle with the urgency of that time limit and getting those victories right out of the gate, which I really like in this match.
Yeah, I like the 30-minute Iron Man step.
Mm-hmm.
I think it works well.
You need like, the right. Uh-huh. Yeah. No. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, you don't have they're not trying to kill time, like, what suffers in so many, like, hour-long ones is the time killing.
Yeah, I agree. The thing is, though, you need guys that are, you need to have it at a level where guys believe we can maybe be beaten more than once in a half-hour span. Like, I mean, I think Sean and Brett went too far in the hour, like, that no one would pin. But I think there's a medium there. Like, if you have the hour, it's kind of believable if you have, like, maybe two or three pinfalls on each side or something. In 30 minutes, you got to stay somewhat believable in there, right? I mean, we'll see where this one goes, but I think it gets maybe comical, unless you really beat the shit out of each other and wear them down, which is possible here. So we'll see where it heads. But I mean, this feud was, you know, was a stalwart in 92. It was one of the best feuds in 92 across wrestling. 92 in general, I think, in WCW and WWF is, I don't think it's an underrated year. I think it's properly rated by everyone. Mm-hmm. I think everyone really enjoys it as a year, but there's so much good quality stuff, especially on pay-per-view for both promotions and then really on WCW television. Like, it's not going to shock me if a big chunk of that GWCW list is from 92.
Yeah, I'm excited to get to it because I'm like at the end of 91 right now, and 90 and 91 are kind of, I don't think they're, I think a lot of people make it seem like it's like horrible, horrible, but it's not right. Bad completely, but it's just real inconsistent. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of like, I think a lot of wasted like time in 90 and 91 WCW from what I've seen.
Yeah, there's some good peaks, but yeah, like the week to week, is definitely more a little bit more of a grind. Once the Dangerous Alliance starts later in the year, in 91, I think things pick up. But you got the lull when Flair leaves, you know, and they're trying to figure out what they're going to be. But I think when Rude comes in, it's kind of a bit of a wake up. You know, that's when things turn around.
Sure. So what are you watching in your bunker for quarantine?
I mean, wrestling wise, I think it'll just be a million things for a podcast. It'll probably increase. So I'll be doing more since I'll be around. That's pretty much my watching. And GWCW stuff. And I have my like late night kind of dozing off chrono going. And that's my WCW chrono beyond the project. I started that when the network started. I started in 89. And I am in September of 98. Doing all pay-per-views, clashes, and Nitro and Thunder. So yeah, I've been working through it, and it was different stretches. Like, you know, I can't say all of it. I don't focus on it. Like, it's just kind of background noise to me. But I have focused a little bit more since we started this project in case I unearth any gems or anything I haven't seen. I had gotten into April 98 and then they dropped Thunder on the network. So I went back, because I kind of was like half sleep through some of them anyway. So,
yeah.
I'll probably do that. And then, I don't know what I'm going to do for non-wrestling stuff. You know, I've been doing the Marvel things, obviously, the movies. That's my gym watching. So I don't know if to see if I change my gym habits out of this virus fear, if I want to go there or not. So I might have to shift that to home and to finish the series because I don't want to linger too much. My goal was to be able to see Black Widow if it comes out on time now, but in the theater, and I don't want to lag behind that. I want to be ready to go. Plus, I feel like the longer I wait, the more likely I'm to be spoiled. Like, I'm still kind of okay. Yeah. On some of these things, but I only got like four left, I think. I just started Ant-Man and the Wasp, so what do I got left? I got that, Captain Marvel, Endgame, and Spider-Man. I think that might be it.
Yeah, I've done some of the Marvel stuff, but I don't like, it kind of intimidates me, because yeah, I've never been like super into it, and so like I've seen things here and there, like I saw Avengers, like the first one that came out, but it just seems like they pile up so quick, and I feel like my attention span in the last like 5 to 10 years is just wrecked. Like, I cannot, like, I feel like I don't focus on things. Like, to just, if I want to sit down and watch a movie, I find it hard for me to just sit and watch like a two and a half hour movie in like one sitting. Like, I'll be so antsy.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I'm not a huge movie guy. Like, I'll rarely sit down, start a movie, and just watch the whole movie. Like, we've always been more of like series family.
Same.
Like, you know, we watch a lot of TV series more than that. But I think this is working for me because of the way I do it. You know, in pieces at the gym. So like, I'm never actually watching any of these things in full. Like, I watch them in like 45-minute cuts, basically. So most of the Marvel movies, like three gym trips for me is a movie. And if I finish one during the gym, like, I'll start the next one. So it's almost just like a rolling follow through. And I did the same thing with the Netflix shows for the Marvel shows. Like, if I finished an episode and I go through, I'd stop. And honestly, I did the same thing for Breaking Bad. Like, that's why I watched Breaking Bad. I didn't watch full episodes at a time. I would just roll through wherever I left off and pause. And it was hard to stop sometimes during a show. But, I mean, that's what gets me through doing cardio. So, I reserve the stuff I really like to watch at the gym, which I know seems crazy. But
no, actually, I kind of do that, too. Like, I watched The Irishman, and it took me about, like, 12 workouts to get through The Irishman because it's, like, 4 hours long. But I kind of broke it up into, like you said, like, chunks.
Right.
And it was a lot easier for me to digest because, like I said, if I try and watch a movie, like just sit at home and watch a movie, I'm just like checking my phone or doing something else. I don't know. I guess iPhone has destroyed my attention span in the last decade. I don't know.
Well, especially days like today, my neck hurt. Like, this podcast is actually a nice break from not staring at it right now.
I know.
So we're 10 minutes into this match. I don't think we've had a fall yet, have we?
I have not seen a fall.
Okay. But Rude is in control. Steamboat did a lot of back work, which is nice. And yeah. I like that, too, because Rude, I think he's the best when he's selling his back. Like, he is excellent at it. And maybe it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that he ends up having his career ended because of a back injury.
He really sold it.
Right? He sells it so much.
Worked himself into a shoot there.
Right?
Yeah.
He's so good at it, though. So, like, I like when that's the focus of a Rude match, when he's on, you know, when he's getting beat up. So, and he's doing it now here. He's, like, walking slowly. He's gingerly, you know, grimacing when he bends over. Mm-hmm. And Steamboat, so adept at, like, even his comebacks right here. What's he doing? Punching the ribs, punching the back. Like, I love that. These guys are just masters of that level of psychology. I think that's why this feud just pops. Even though Steamboat's not as cut as Rude, like, they're the same size, same style. Even their tights are similar. Like, not the design, but, like, the style of their tights. Like, everything, this just feels like two guys that cross paths at the exact perfect time.
Yeah, they definitely seem, like, evenly matched, like, perfect for each other, for sure.
And Rude, this is such a big part of his evolution, too, here. Because he came in hot, obviously. He wins the title from Sting. But this feud, you know, they always need that one feud to really establish a guy, right? Like, so Rude, he had the stuff with Warrior. But coming in here and getting this feud with Steamboat and proving he could hang and not just be carried, I think did so much for his credibility and his resume as a star.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think this is kind of the point where people really, like, think of Rude as, like, an all-time great worker, is in this WCW run.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? Yeah?
Yeah, and it's such a candle in the wind, honestly, because he comes in here, and I think everyone always thought he was a good worker. I will say, rewatching a lot of his WWF stuff on Place to Be as we've worked through it, I don't think he got very good until 89. I think Warrior actually gets a lot of credit for helping bring him up. Because before that, there were not very many good matches that I saw of his in that 87, 88 stretch. But he figures it out in 89, he gets better. And then he comes in, and this is where he becomes, like, super worker Rude. But then he hurts his back, you know, in, like, 93. And that's pretty much it. Like, by the time he's feuding with Flair in the fall, like, those matches are kind of disappointments. They're fine, but they're not as great as you would hope. And then that's it. By 94, he's pretty much toast. He wrestles a little bit, but... So it's really just... I mean, his peak in the ring, when you think of Super Worker Rude, is probably like a year and a half.
Yeah. So he did the... Like you were saying, the selling, he just did the great thing where he goes to do, like, his little hip swivel, and then he can't complete it because he's in so much pain, and he starts grimacing. That was an awesome moment.
And so we're getting our chin lock stuff here, but the great stuff with Rude is and Steamboat is the way they work in the holds. I mean, like, they're not just sitting in the chin lock, right? Rude's grinding it, looking around. Steamboat's pleading and fighting and scratching. Like, they just, it makes it believable. And you also believe that Rude is trying to hurt him and bleed the clock a bit, thinking, all right, well, if I can get a win, I can maybe run things down. And we don't have the commentary on, but Jesse is, like, and JR are really good in this match.
For sure. Still in the chin lock. Well, Steamboat's coming out of it.
Yeah, electric chair. Busted up again, right on Rude's back. So the whole focus for, you know, we're 14 minutes in. It doesn't feel like 14 minutes for this match.
Yeah.
14 minutes in, and we're already, you know, pretty much the whole thing has been focused on Rude's back, and it's chugged along as such. And that was an awesome move right there. Steamboat goes for a big splash and eats the knees and does a 360 flip over him to the corner.
Love it.
Do you have any matches? Is there anything, like, you know, is, like, top of your list? Because I feel like with the GWWE list, it was easy because we're also ingrained as growing up as WWE fans, and that's what we've seen, like, a million times, all the matches and the footage and the volume. Like, to me, I could have probably told you my top 10 in some order. Maybe not the final order, but in some order, like, right at the start of the project. I can't do that with WCW. I know someone. I know someone think it'll be in there, but. Do you have some that you know are on your list? Like right away?
I think obviously, like, War Games and the 92 War Games is, it's like the first one that comes to mind for me that's, like, top 10 worthy, I think, like, automatic. But it's hard with all the other stuff. I mean, probably the Flair Steamboat stuff, but even that, it's not like I've watched it so much that it's like ingrained into my brain. Like, right. You know, like for GWWE, it was like Austin Brett I've seen, you know, 50 mm-hmm. times or something. Like, I know it backwards and forwards. Where this stuff, even the stuff that I know is really top end, it's not like I've watched it repeatedly. So, like you said, it's like super wide open, I think. Like, I just watched a while back for WrestleWar 90, there's like Luger Flair, yep. which is really awesome. I think that one's a lock. But it's like I'm going through and I haven't seen a ton so far that I'm like, oh, man, this is like a lock for sure. But I don't know. I think I need to see the 80s stuff, too. I think there's a lot of stuff in the 80s for WCW or NWA, I guess, at that point. That's awesome.
There's a ton of stuff. And to your point, even those Flair Steamboat matches, like, I don't really even know them well enough off the top of my head to differentiate sometimes which mm-hmm. are which.
Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff, like, more from my WCW wheelhouse in the mid-90s I know will be on there. Like, obviously, Max Payne and Cactus Jack as a nasty, right? I mean, that's a mm-hmm. lock to make. We know the Flair Steamboat series is making it. We know, some like a Hogan and Goldberg, right? From historical mm-hmm. points, like that's probably going to make it. Tully and Magnum, like that's a lock. So I think there's some, but I think there's probably a good 80 to 85 spots mm-hmm. on my list that are just completely wide open as a blank slate to make that. Obviously, oh, Sting Vader. I mean, a bunch of those are going to make it.
Yeah.
Vader Boss for me will probably make it. I love that match at Spring Stampede. So yeah, I mean, there's gonna be a lot of contenders. I gotta really dig into that 92 TV because there's so many random, you know, everyone always talks about the Evolution six men matches in like 2004 or whatever, like mm-hmm. that's the Dangerous Alliance matches, right, in 92 on WCW mm-hmm. TV. There's so many with that combination of Sting and Dustin Rhodes and Steamboat and those guys against the Dangerous Alliance in some forms, you know, 2-on-2, 3-on-3, even into 91 with the Enforcers and stuff. Like, there's a ton of those random matches all over WCW Saturday Night and Pro and Worldwide and stuff.
Oh, good near fall.
That was a sick pile driver. That was always one of Rude's specialties too.
And so we have like a little bit under 13 minutes, and we still haven't got a fall yet, right?
I didn't see a fall. No, I don't think so. I mean, they don't have anything on the screen, but I don't know if they have those graphics yet. But
yeah, you only have four digits on screen.
This is such a great Tombstone reversal too, where Steamboat like crawls up Rude to flip him over. He doesn't just like use his
weight. Yeah, and do the typical like super quick flip. He's right. Like has to struggle through it. Like,
yeah, he's got to crawl up and he flips and then hits a Tombstone of his own for a near fall.
Yeah, both of them, their selling is so dramatic mm-hmm. in a good way.
I like too that it's the Beach Blast theme, because it makes it feel like it's like 100 degrees in that building, which it probably yeah. was. So like they're drenched in sweat, you know what I mean? Like everything's yeah, yeah. just like, it feels like such a grueling war that they're in the middle of. And I feel like I could watch this again, like right after with the commentary in the crowd, you know what I mean? Like
yeah,
watching it on mute is great. And it's even amplified when it has everything about it.
Yeah. I love the beach theme. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Yeah, and that's the one thing with WCW, right? They always had the theme shows that really added a lot. I think that makes this I think this project is going to be super fun. Like, I really hope a lot of people, it seems like we're going to have a lot of good participation, but a lot of people are into it because it's such a nice opportunity to open the vault and watch a lot of stuff you haven't seen. And it's a lot less intimidating in so many ways, too. By it's a much more limited quantity you have to work through versus the WWE list that existed. Because we know WCW ends in 2001, right? So there's only 20 years worth of stuff, and a lot of it's not even available. So like, it's a very much more limited quantity to have to work through and figure out what you want to put on your list.
Yeah, and there's not like the deluge of the modern stuff where you have like 12 hours of new wrestling per week to
try to
sift through.
Yeah. So a big superplex there. I got a nice pair of Jean culottes there on the crowd.
All right. Steamer's up. Staggering.
And just a two there. Okay. So when did you start watching live? Like, what was your first?
Probably. So WCW, I would say Monday Night War
yeah.
era is like when I really got into it. I remember seeing it for whatever reason a lot when they would do the replays, because when they play Nitro at like midnight or something, like later in the night after, and I remember catching, like, especially when I was out of school during the summer, mm-hmm. I remember I would kind of watch Raw for the most part, and then I would always end up, at least early on, like before NWO, like really made it to where like you were flipping back and forth, I was definitely catching a lot of the Nitros on the repeats that would play late at night, especially when I didn't have school. So I'd say like 95, 96.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I think it was in this 92 time frame. About, it was on my radar when I started watching in 90, just from like magazines, and I probably watched it before then, I just don't remember, but because it was just on, you know, it was not a good time. Like Saturday night, when you're 10, you're not really going out a ton on Saturday night. So I'm sure I was watching it as early as 91 at some point. Like, I remember I have like some of the trading cards from 91 and stuff, but 92 is where I really start to remember like the War Games and stuff like that. Like, but I was aware of the guys. Like, I knew who Luger was. I knew who Flair was when they came into WWF. So there was some level of awareness there, I guess.
As somebody in the Northeast, did it seem like super Southern to you?
Like, I think I was old enough to pick up on that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was just wrestling. And we were so starved then. Like, I just wanted to watch it. Like, I think I felt WWF was superior because it felt more grand. So maybe on that level. But I don't think it felt like Southern. I think it just felt not as grandiose. And I think it was like, being the Northeast. Right. Yeah, exactly. And you're just told that it's bigger. Like, yeah, I think even my dad was like, oh, you know, WWF's like the big time. You know, like, you just kind of hear it that way. And it's got Hogan. That's who you always hear about. But I don't think I ever looked at it like, oh, look at this Southern yokel shit. You know, it was just more like, okay, it's just maybe not as big.
And what's funny is that, like, I grew up in the South, and still for me growing up, until like the NWO and stuff blew up, I would say more people around me were still more into like when we would get tapes from like my parents' friends who were recording the pay-per-views and stuff, it was always WWF. It wasn't like until they blew up in the mid 90s that even people around me in the South were like all in on WCW. So I never really saw it as being Southern either. I guess I just missed that era.
Yeah. So we're really picking up the pace now. We had a real sick jawbreaker that was in there, and now Steamboat's come firing back with chops. I feel like we might have missed a fall in here.
Maybe so.
I mean, because we got 7.5 minutes left, and I thought there were falls in this match.
Yeah, they're definitely selling like exhaustion. Yeah, we've
missed some stuff because the final score is 4-3. So
yeah. Too busy talking about, we have other things on our mind, too busy worrying about the quarantine and
right. Maybe an Iron Man match wasn't the best idea for a fireside chat during one of these things.
Yeah.
They're not making a big deal out of the pin cell, I guess. I mean, I haven't seen like a big, I feel like Randy Anderson, is that Randy? Yeah, Randy Anderson's two counts or somebody's three counts. Or is that Mike Atkins? Might be Mike Atkins. It's Pee Wee, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like some of those two counts seem like it's three counts or something, because I don't know. They all seem similar. But anyway, we have some number of falls here with 6.5 minutes to go.
It's not about who wins or loses, okay? Did you see the like Steamboat's, like when he was on the ground, like his selling is really going to another level in this last portion. Like he was on the ground with his hand like twitching. Like,
and even that, even his face when he's choking him with the rope, you know, it's like
he's dying.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. He's amazing. You wonder what could have been, like, what his back end could have been if he didn't get hurt. Would he have deteriorated? I mean, I don't think so. Because when he came back in 09, he was still fucking sharp. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, where would he have gone? What would he have done? Would he have jumped in 96 when all, like, the Hogan refugees escaped to WWF with Foley and Dustin Rhodes and Vader and those guys? Like, could he have gone back there for yet another run? Or does he just stay in WCW until he's done? But I mean, he like think of some of the stuff. If he comes in 96 and is like an ally of Sean or something, and you know, in there with Brett and Owen and Bulldog and all those guys, like he could have had some great stuff there. Another near fall.
Five, 5:15 left.
Definitely hitting the end game of this thing. And again, the selling has been a point. the them showing how exhausted they are and how worn down they are to really put over the grueling nature of the Iron Man match. Because don't forget, this is a relatively new concept. I mean, it's the first on WCW pay-per-view history. I don't remember if they had any on, you know, TV or other big shows at this point, but it had to be one of the first real big ones in North America.
Yeah, I never really thought about that, like the history of the Iron Man match, like how, I guess it's relatively modern, I would think.
Yeah, WWF, I know, I mean, obviously WrestleMania 12 was the first big one, but I know they had like marathon matches with Bret and Flair on house shows and stuff that they called, and it was basically like an Iron Man match. So, and I think Bret Owen maybe had one too at some point there in like 94. But obviously 12 was the first one on a major scale for the WWF. And even then, it's not completely overused. So like, they beat so many gimmicks into the ground these days, you'd think they would have done this too, but they really haven't.
Yeah, they really... No, you're right. There's not a ton. I don't know if it's like after WrestleMania 12, they were kind of gun-shy.
Yeah, because there's not another one for 4 years. WWF, yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, that's a crazy long stretch in that pay-per-view era to go without reusing a gimmick. And then that one went better, and they picked up a little bit more from there. I don't even know when was the last one they had.
I don't know. I remember like the tag one they had when the Hardys came back, had that comeback. Oh, and that was a good one against the Bar or something. That was a fun one. But so I know we haven't been tracking the fall super well, but what do you think of this so far?
The match itself?
Yeah, yeah. This
match, it's great. I mean, it's a lock for the list for sure. I want to watch it again, probably. I'll probably watch it again with sound and paying more attention to the falls.
Yeah.
God, the sweat dripping off them was ridiculous. It must have been 100 degrees in there. Like, they're not faking that. So
I know.
It must have been dying. But yeah, it'll be on my list. It'll be on my list. Did you say where it is? I think it's in Florida, right?
Oh. Yeah.
Daytona, maybe, or something?
I just love, I'm such a mark for like selling exhaustion. Like for GWWE, I watched, what was it, like one of those old like hour long Backlund matches? Oh, it was Backlund Valentine. Yes. And they're just like, by the end, they just look legitimately on the verge of death. And I love it. Like, I like right now how tired, like you said, they're sweating, like they can barely move. They're not like doing the whole like, oh, adrenaline thing. They're just like dead, and I kind of love it.
Right, they're not firing up. You know, they're just, like you said, they're just wiped out, exhausted, dead. Just trying to outlast these last 2 minutes, which I guess you could say, like, on some level, like, these guys have had matches these long before. You know what I mean? But I guess because of the pace they're working to try and get these falls and have it come from behind and tie it up, like, that's why they're even more worn out. It's such more of a brutal match because you have to work this pace to fill this time because you know it has to go that long. So you have to pace yourself, but also you want to be aggressive. You don't want to sit back. So there's a lot within the story of the match to tell on that level.
Yeah. Going back to our quarantine topic, seeing these two, like, no body fat, I'm just trying to think about how much weight I would gain. Under quarantine, I think I would probably eat my entire stash of food in about 2 days because I would just be sitting and watching.
It's already been a mess for me. Like, since I got sick on Friday, not corona related, but I've been off my keto and like I don't know how my gym's gonna be affected and everything else. Like, I'm gonna try and get back on it this week, but I am gonna treat myself. I had said it, and I'm gonna do it. I think maybe tomorrow I might go to Sonic and get that peanut butter thing after the week I had.
You earned it.
So we got a sleeper on from Rude with about under a minute left. Steamboat's fading, trying to hang on. Hang on the best he can. So where is this match going to be for you? Like, off the top of your head, do you have it?
I like its chances right now. I mean, it's definitely in the top tier of what I watched so far since I started digging in for the project. I mean, right now I have a lot to get through, but it's easily in the top 20 of things I've watched so far. I mean, again, I have a lot left to watch, but... it's definitely in the top 20, but I'm about to get into 92, so this is kind of like an appetizer for me.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have a lot of good stuff after you finish 92. So Steamboat went ahead at 4-3. He did the sleeper kick off the corner that Bret Hart made famous, had just done, really, a couple months before this, WrestleMania 8, to pin Roddy Piper. So he did that to get the – that was awesome by Randy Anderson, by the way. So Rude just had this amazing 1 minute flurry. Stretch. Oh my god, of like a million near falls, and Pee Wee Anderson does this wild fucking dive over them to count the last one. But so Steve-O,
I love that dive. He does that all the time because I've been watching this a lot, and he loves that dive.
That one was tremendous, though. He really got some air time and flopped over. So great match, Ricky Steamboat. There was no title on the line in this one, right?
Yeah, I think this is non-title. Yeah.
What do you think of that? Do you think it would have been better stakes if they had? I guess they don't want to take it off of Rude, but Steamboat. Who's champion in this? It's Rude, right? Still.
I know it's tough with a match like that too, because it's such a long. Like it kind of, you know, after such a long, grueling match. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, well, good job, Steamboat, but
right,
don't get the title after killing yourself for 30 minutes. Like,
yeah, I guess it's revenge, right? That they're kind of, you know, the revenge of it. And because everything had happened before this, right? It's Super Brawl, Steamboat went for the title, and Paulie, the ninja, and all that shit with the phone. But yeah, so yeah, there'll be a lot of cool stuff, Jake. We'll do this again because there's a lot of stuff in 92 you're going to get to. You haven't even touched Sting Vader yet. I mean, that's to come for you. You get the War Games. I mean, I think that's, we didn't mention that earlier on like the must-haves, but the War Games from 91 to 92, I think are going to make the majority of, if not all, lists. And I know this, I think 87 has one of the ones that a lot of people talk about having. And I'll be curious how many War Games pop up on lists because there are some great War Games. Like, I think 94 is going to make mine with the Dusty and the Nasty Boy versus the Studs Table. That's such an awesome War Games match.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting how people feel. Because I noticed on the last project, a lot of people kind of felt if you represented one thing, like a certain, you know, a tag team or something, whatever it might be, you don't want to overrepresent given how few spots. So it'll be interesting because those matches are beloved.
Well, the thing too is there was a lot less, volume for WCW, right, to include. So I may feel more comfortable putting five War Games matches than I would have saying put like five TLC matches or something like that. But because I think in War Game, they're also good. Like, I can tell you off the top of my head, 91, 92, 94 are making my list. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing 87. And I think, is it 96 that's really good too? The first NWO one. I think there's another really good one in there. And 97's good too with the Flair stuff. I don't know if I could rewatch to see if this is the moment that holds up or if it's the match itself is really good too. But. All right, well, hopefully everyone enjoyed this Pod Blast special of the North-South Connection Podcast Network. We have tons of great content for you, dropping weekly, Extreme Three-Way Dance, Wrestling Warzone. Once a month, we get No Holds Barred, Jeff Runs Wrestling, Chad Campbell has some Pod Blast coming too, and we'll see. There was plans for a Mania weekend preview. I don't think that's happening, so we'll have to come up with something else to fill the gap. Jake, anything you want to plug?
PTB NXT, we should be back soon with a new episode in the next week or so. I have a Twitter now, Jambalaya_Jake.
Stay safe for sure, and hopefully if you listened to this you would have subscribed by now, but if you did not, you can go ahead and do that on any podcatcher app. Leave a rating for us, please. Leave some comments, some feedback. And you can follow us on Facebook too. If you just search North South Connection Podcast Network, or if you do facebook.com/ North South Connection Podcast, you can take us right to the page. If you like that, you'll get all the updates on when our stuff drops. So, all right, Jake, it was great talking to you. Stay safe, binge away. I'm sad. I'm not going to be seeing you in a few weeks. So I was looking forward to it.
I know. But
hopefully, by the time you hear this, there'll be a contingency plan that we'll already have worked through and be ready to see each other soon. Anyway,
we'll make it happen some way.
All right. Everyone take care. We'll talk to you soon.